Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I truly think that K-beauty coming into the U.S. helped people become more educated about skincare. And I think that it also helped bring the emergence of indie brands and people be more open to trying products that maybe their grandmother and mother have never tried before. It became more acceptable to have on your vanity all of these different brands versus like one of the same legacy brand all in a row from the same line. I want to give credit to K-beauty for doing that. I don't think we talk about it enough, honestly, how much K-beauty has impacted the skincare industry and the habits and trends that have emerged from it.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty, the podcast all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. We're your hosts, Jill Dunn and Carlene Higgins.
Welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Carlene Higgins, and I'm here with my dear co-host, Jill Dunn. Hello, Jill.
Hey, Carlene, and hey, Breaking Beauty fam. I am honestly so excited for you all to hear this episode today.
So it's that time again, the moment where we slow things down a bit and get real familiar with one of our favorite beauty brands, with the founder themselves, about just how they managed to break through in the beauty aisles. Today, we're sitting down virtually with Charlotte Cho.
So Charlotte is the co-founder of the Korean skincare e-commerce platform SokoGlam, plus its sister content site, The Clog. And she's the founder of her own Korean skincare line, Then I Met You. And more recently, she launched Good Skin Days and The Clog, another spin-off skincare brand. So she has been doing the most.
That's right. And it's been almost a decade since Charlotte launched SokoGlam with her husband, David Cho, back in 2012. In the meantime, K-beauty is thriving. It's now a $13.1 billion phenomenon, all thanks to Korean skin-first philosophy.
Charlotte herself is an esthetician. And so that really intrigued us, right, Carlene? Because there's so few skincare founders that then also get their certification in aesthetics. So she really is passionate about skincare and wanting to try to help people find the routine that's right for them. And so she is really a bona fide skin expert. What I didn't realize before this interview is that Charlotte is actually responsible for coining the term, the Korean 10-step skincare routine. And she's a best-selling author of the book, The Little Book of Skincare, The Korean Beauty Secrets for Healthy Glowing Skin.
This summer, we'll see Charlotte's second book, The Little Book of Jung, which will focus on the Korean concept of Jung, the primary inspiration behind Then I Met You. Charlotte's going to school us all about Jung in today's episode and how we might be able to cultivate the concept in our own lives. She's also going to walk us through the backstory behind the best-selling product from Then I Met You, the multi-award-winning Living Cleansing Balm, which Caroline Hirons recently named Product of the Year.
And that's all like hashtag not sponsored. Like that is a huge deal. You know, it all starts in K-beauty with the essential double cleanse. So I'm not surprised that her first product to market was the Living Cleansing Balm. I've personally tried it. And so the main ingredients, it has sea berry oil, which is rich in fatty acids. It has grapeseed oil, olive oil, vitamin E. And for the price point, it's really reasonable. It comes in just under $40. And Carlene, what I would say I like about it the most is, yes, you put it on dry skin, you add the water, you massage it on. I really like that I can put it all over my face, including like my eyelids and everything, and I don't get any stinging that I sometimes do get with other cleansing balms. And I like that I don't have a sticky feel afterwards on my face. You can tell it actually does really soften the skin, but there's no like residue left behind. And so that really does set it apart.
All right. Well, Charlotte's going to talk to us more about the creation of that best-selling product. She's also going to talk to us about the next K-beauty trend coming down the pike in 2021, which frankly surprised us. She unpacks the art of triple cleansing, and she discusses cushion compacts that are sunscreens, not the foundations you might be familiar with. So lots of new nuggets in today's episode. And finally, Charlotte's going to talk to us about the work that she's been doing personally and through her community to help stop the hate directed toward the Asian American Pacific Islander community. So important.
So here she is. Welcome, Charlotte Cho.
And now a quick pause from one of today's show partners, Sakara. Here's the only diet you'll ever hear me endorse here on Breaking Beauty Podcast, a healthy diet. Instead of imposing restrictions and limits on what you can eat, you nourish your body and give it more of what it really needs to help it function in tip-top form. For me, that can be a challenge, though. You guys know I'm lazy slash busy, and I'm a foodie. I like food that tastes damn good. Sue me. That's where Sakara can really help. Their organic, ready-to-eat meals are made with powerful plant-based ingredients designed to boost your energy, improve your digestion, and get your skin glowing without sacrificing taste. And the best part is, you don't even need to step foot into a grocery store, which I really appreciate right now. The menu of creative, chef-crafted, ready-to-eat breakfasts, lunches, and dinners changes weekly, so you'll never get bored. And it's delivered fresh to your door anywhere in the U.S. Let's see, beautifying broccoli soup with chili sauteed greens? Yep, I'll take one of those. And along with delicious plant-rich meals, Sakara also offers daily wellness essentials like supplements and herbal teas to support your nutrition. Experience the transformative power of plants with their best-selling Metabolism Super Powder. Made with organic raw cacao, it works to boost energy, eliminate bloating, minimize sugar cravings, and reduce fatigue. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/beauty or enter code beauty at checkout. That's Sakara, sakara.com/beauty to get 20% off your first order. sakara.com/beauty. And now back to the show.
Let's do it. So Charlotte, welcome to our show. So you are hands down, we know this, the queen of Korean skincare. So tell us about your personal connection to Korea.
Yeah, so my parents immigrated to California around 40 years ago, and they're both from Seoul, South Korea. I was born and raised in California, never really had the chance to go visit Korea until I was in college. And I absolutely fell in love with it, and I was really excited to actually embrace the culture and really live through it and speak the language and just seek out that part of my identity. Because growing up in California, I really didn't have that. And I didn't really even have Asian role models, people that look like me. And it honestly made me a little bit insecure growing up. So I fully embraced it in college. I decided to live and work in Korea. And I got this amazing opportunity to work at Samsung doing public relations. It was truly kind of a serendipitous opportunity, and I'm very lucky to have had the opportunity, because it's really hard to kind of transition to a remote country and work there, especially without knowing many people that live in Korea. So had the opportunity, fell in love with Korea, the culture. I truly felt at home. I felt like a lot of the beauty standards that weren't really popular in the U.S. or in the West were definitely popular and trending in Korea, that, you know, something that I could relate to. And one of the trends and one of the things that I noticed immediately was their obsession over skincare. And for me, that was a very foreign concept because growing up in California, I never wore sunscreen. I didn't really think skincare was something I needed to even consider until I was older. I was more interested in makeup, covering up my imperfections and pimples with concealer and, you know, and using a lot of eyeliner. But I never thought about taking care of my skin. And in fact, skincare was such a chore. Skincare was definitely just a chore in growing up and living in California. So that whole entire idea and concept turned upside down when living in Korea. I saw that people embraced kind of a complexion that was not makeup heavy. They actually took pride in the fact that they wore little makeup and they would show up to brunch without any trace of makeup. They would call that 생얼, which is like makeupless face or no makeup makeup look in other words. And so that really intrigued me. I really felt that it embraced skincare, really embraced who you were rather than like a trendy outfit or a red lip. It was inherently who you were. So I love that aspect of it. And I just got obsessed because literally there on every corner in Korea, there was like a beauty shop and a skincare shop and everything was affordable. I felt like it was, you know, there was sheet mask for $2. There was like a new interesting cream with fermented ingredients or snail mucin. And it was just this whole world that opened up. And I became very passionate about it, especially after I saw results on my skin.
So you launched SokoGlam in 2012 and its sister content site, The Clog. And the one thing that's so unique is that you chose to get your aesthetics license at the same time. So there's so many beauty founders and content creators out there that love skincare, but they don't take that next step. And so I'm really interested that you did.
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we started SokoGlam in 2012, I had no beauty background in the professional sense. I was not a makeup artist. I wasn't an esthetician. I wasn't even involved in the beauty industry by trade. Just like my PR background had to do with, you know, Samsung, which has nothing to do with beauty. My husband also, he did not come from an entrepreneurial background. Actually, he was in the U.S. military. He was a captain in the U.S. Army, living in Seoul, Korea, because we have a base out there. And that's how we met. So when we decided to start SokoGlam, it was not based on, you know, that we knew anything about the industry at all. It was purely a passion project. I fell in love with Korean skincare. Dave definitely had an extensive skincare routine as well. We saw this as a fun side project on the weekends. We didn't have any investors or people who said that this was a great idea. In fact, a lot of people around us were telling us that this was a terrible idea. So it was truly something that we were passionate about, and we did everything out of our apartment. So in Korea, we would pack all the products. We would actually buy products in Korea on the streets of Korea, meaning like the actual shops. So we didn't have wholesale relationships. We didn't have brand relationships. I would just simply buy the products that I would normally buy them in bulk and have it in our living room and then package them out. It was very humble beginnings and we didn't really know what to expect, nor did we expect it to be a big business at all. And so as I was doing customer service inquiries, people were asking me more questions about their routine and how to put a routine together and specific questions they had about their skin concerns. And I didn't know how to respond other than providing them just my favorite products and how to build a routine. That was kind of the extent of my knowledge. So I felt compelled to help people in a more scientific sense, how to take care of their skin. I need to learn more about the skin barrier. I need to know how ingredients help the skin. What was the science behind exfoliation? So that's when I decided to get my esthetician license. And I went to the program in New York City. We moved shortly after from Seoul to New York City. And I went to Dermalogica's aesthetics program. And that was a game changer for me.
And so you were really becoming the source for K-beauty and Korean skincare. Like, editors were coming to you as a source for stories they were writing. And I understand that you actually coined the term the 10-step beauty routine. Is that true?
Yeah. So the Korean 10-step skincare routine was coined back in 2014. So just to backtrack a little bit, when I mentioned that my husband and I started SokoGlam when people thought it was a terrible idea, you have to kind of remember in 2012, people weren't really comfortable buying skincare products online at the time. I know it sounds crazy, but especially brands like never heard of. They felt like you needed to go into the store, touch and feel the brand and product and experience it and hear about it from all your friends before you actually bought into this indie brand, you know, K-Beauty. Mm-hmm. And so when I started talking to editors about Korean beauty, they literally thought that K-Beauty stood for Kardashian beauty before I got to explaining.
Oh my gosh.
So that was, I thought that was, that's just kind of the time frame of what, you know, what I was kind of going through. I was starting from the bottom up, explaining to them about K-Beauty and the principles of it and the techniques. And when I was explaining to them about my journey, I told them about how I was at my friend's house in Korea and they had literally a whole vanity of skincare products. And when I started to learn about K-Beauty, I told them to walk me through the whole process. And they basically told me, okay, you could use this oil cleanser to remove makeup impurities, oil-based impurities. They'd walk me through exfoliation and then the vitamin C serum they had and all of these sheet masks.
Essences and tonics.
Exactly. Yeah, and I was like, wow, this is incredible. And I basically told the story to an Elle editor at the time. And I said, yeah, they have like over 10 products on their vanity. And, you know, they walked me through the whole process. And I basically developed this Korean 10-step skincare routine. And they're like, whoa. And it just became this phrase in the article that they talked about. And from then on, it became viral because everyone now wanted to try the Korean 10-step skincare routine. And trust me, people saw results because if you never hydrated or used or layered your skincare, you were going to see glowing, dewy complexion. When you actually cleanse thoroughly, you're going to actually see results because you're going to have clear skin. You know, it just all of that working together really helped people results in a dramatic fashion. That being said, you know, I always had to leave a disclaimer. You don't have to use 10 steps every morning, every night. That was not the intention, but it became kind of viral because people started doing it. But I never, will never tell anyone to use 10 steps. It's really actually more of an educational tool. And so once you kind of know how to build your routine, knowing and understanding the different various steps that you could use, then you kind of pick and choose based on your skin goals and your lifestyle. Because look, if you're not going to invest in, you know, 4 steps every morning and night, you know, that's not for you. You know, just stick with 2. And just stick to what you know, have time and energy for.
And I think it's also because we were hearing all about these types of products that we had never heard of before, like essences. So people wanted to know what's the order, you know? And so I can see how that kind of rolled out.
I truly think that K-Beauty coming into the U.S. helped people become more educated about skincare. And I think that it also helped bring the emergence of indie brands and people being more open to trying products that maybe their grandmother and mother have never tried before.
Yeah,
it became more acceptable to have on your vanity all of these different brands versus like one of the same legacy brand all in a row from the same line.
Yeah,
1, 2, 3.
Exactly. And I want to give credit to K-Beauty for doing that. I don't think we talk about it enough, honestly, how much K-Beauty has impacted the skincare industry and the habits and trends that have emerged from it.
Jumping in for a moment to let you know about a new innovation from our show partner, Clarins. We get so many DMs looking for solutions to treat the eye area, so that's why I'm happy today to tell you about the new Clarins Total Eye Lift. It really ticks all of the boxes when it comes to being a complete anti-aging eye cream. I mean, it targets wrinkles, crow's feet, dark circles, puffiness, and it's safe for sensitive eyes. I personally was very excited to try it because Clarins tested the Total Eye Lift on more than 100 people and 80% said that they noticed a visible lift in just 60 seconds. Say what? Now I'm intrigued. So what I personally noticed is that you do get that immediate sort of subtle tightening around the eye area. And that's thanks to the exclusive lift smoothing duo, Cassiflower Wax and Harangana Extract. So the Harangana Extract that is going to deeply replenish and visibly firm the fragile skin around the eyes, while the Cassiflower Wax that's going to visibly tighten and smooth the lines and wrinkles And that's where you get those immediate results. So Clarence has always been about plant power. And that's the case here too. 94% of the ingredients in the formula are natural. And so it's got this naturally powerful performance. Plus, I appreciate that Clarence products are born in the spa. And they even have this spa approved method of application. It involves this temple to temple pressure point application. And I find it really soothing, and it helps with that lymphatic drainage so my eyes look less puffy. And if you want to know more about that method to get that spa-like experience at home, we're actually dropping a whole bonus episode next week on this topic in partnership with Clarins. So mark your calendars for Monday. So good news for our listeners, if you'd like to try the Clarins Total Eye Lift for yourself, discover more at clarinsusa.com, and you can get 10% off your purchase of the Total Eye Lift by using our exclusive code BREAKINGBEAUTY10. Once again, that's 10% off using our exclusive promo code BREAKINGBEAUTY10 at clarinsusa.com. We'll link to that offer on our blog and in the show notes. Now, back to the show. And so we're going to fast forward a little bit to 2018, and we're curious about the reasons why you decided to create your first skincare brand, which is called Then I Met You. And so what did you feel was missing from all of the brands that you were curating on your SoCo Glam website, which I imagine was booming at that time?
Yeah, you know, right when we started SoCo Glam, about a year into it, it's such a baby stage of SoCo Glam, people started asking us, when are you going to create your own skincare line? And I guess that's a natural next step for a retailer, I guess, or someone in the beauty industry. And I remember my husband and I having such a visceral reaction to that. We're just like, whoa, you know, we're not even close to, you know, creating our own line. That's such a huge feat. And it's a big responsibility. We're just getting started with SoCo Glam. And I remember thinking that. And 6 years down the line, we finally decided, okay, we're feeling a lot more comfortable. We've done this for 6 years. We completely understand what the community has been asking for. We know what products they love and what they don't love. And so it really was kind of a slow progression to this point. The reason why I call this story out is that I think it's quite fascinating when I see people who have zero background and they create a skincare line from scratch. And I'm just amazed at that, because I would be so nervous and I would be actually afraid.
Yeah, we're amazed too. A lot of the times. No hate, no shade, but you are just like, wow, is there just like a DIY box now on how to like create a skincare brand? There are just so many. It's fast and furious. So
Right. And now I understand how, you know, the bar to entry into the industry is pretty low, because you really could just white label product. There's formulas that's, you know, are already pre-made by a manufacturer and you just slap your logo and label on it. So I understand now how it works. But at that time, I was just like, wait a minute, you know, we're not at all ready for this. And so, you know, we really took our time. 6 years into it, we developed relationships with, you know, manufacturers that really respected SoCo Glam out in Korea. So I got access to top R&D experts, people that really wanted to innovate with me. And so, you know, I felt ready at the time to start exploring this concept. And so what I wanted to bring to the skincare industry was not only just my expertise of K-beauty and skincare, but I really wanted to do things differently. So not only did I want the packaging to stand out from anything anyone else is doing. So I really leaned heavily into one of my favorite colors, which is periwinkle. I didn't want to do kind of the sans serif font, white, you know, simple, clean packaging. I wanted it to really pop on a shelf. And I also wanted, in terms of formulation, to make sure it was an experience no one has ever experienced. And, you know, that's the Living Cleansing Balm. It took several years to perfect that formula. And now we've won 15 industry awards in 2 years since we launched, which I think I'm very happy about that result, because it just took so long to get there with the formula. I didn't want anything off the shelf. Like I mentioned earlier, I did not want to slap a label on a pre-existing formula and call that my line. I really wanted to be proud of something that I put out there. And also, I wanted to create a line that actually had a deeper meaning than just skincare. Obviously, formula and packaging, that's table stakes. I wanted to be innovative in that sense, but I wanted to bring this Korean cultural concept called chong into the line. And chong, for those of you who don't know what that word is, it means a deep and emotional connection you could have with someone or something or even a place. And I had chong, a deep connection with Korea. I have chong with, you know, certain people in my life that have, you know, been part of my journey. And this concept I felt was so important to share with my community because I feel like it's something that's disappearing from the world. The importance of deep connections, it's not going to be over social media.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of like superficiality, I think, in this world now. And I just wanted to remind people through this concept, like, hey, you know, deep relationships are truly what make you happy. It's not money, fame, you know, even your career or all of this kind of like superficial stuff. It's really the relationships you have in your life. So nurture them and take care of them and really invest in them. Because that's all that matters. And so that's the kind of sentiment I wanted to share. And that's why the name of the line is Then I Met You. It really brings a nod to that. And I hope that when people see it, this line on their vanity, they don't just think about their routine, but they maybe reflect on the relationships. That's really kind of what I wanted to bring to this line. Mm-hmm. Something deeper and more meaningful than skincare. And I'm actually writing a book about it. So it's funny, I have my manuscript here.
Oh my gosh.
Let's hold that up again. Let's
live
see.
And in Prague. Wow.
A little bit
amazing.
I've worked on it for honestly 5 years. So
Wow. It's
been, you know, in the works for a long time and it's finally ready. I'm going to be doing a cover reveal this month. Yeah, it's so funny because a little book of skincare, which I have right here, this took 6 months to write. Because it was just, you know, the 10-step routine. It had all the info in my head. It just like really was really quick and easy. And then this one was such a deep concept. And it's actually a reflection on my entrepreneurial journey, how Chong played a role in my life and why I believe that this Korean art of building deep connections actually leads to happiness and success. That is, you know, it was a little harder to write because it was so hard to grasp that and tell those stories. And it was
more personal.
Yeah, it was more
personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can you say it again? Say the word and spell it just for our listeners.
It's Chong and J-E-O-N-G. I don't know if you know the Korean actor Ken Chong. It's the same as his last name.
Okay.
Well, I'm excited for the book.
Yeah. And I mean, if there was one sort of sneak peek into the book, do you have any advice on how we might be able to cultivate more Chong in our own lives? Like maybe a ritual or a practice?
Yeah, in the book, I call the section Simple Acts of Chong. Mm-hmm. And it's ways in which you can incorporate Chong in your daily life. Even when I was in Korea, one thing that I felt a lot of comfort in living in a new country, in a different, completely different work culture, is that I had lunch every single day with my team. And that's something that you don't really see here in the U.S., And in Korea, it really made me feel at home. I became super close with my teammates. I began to know them in a very deep personal way. And I felt very thankful for those relationships. When I think about me working here in the US, especially my first job out of college, I remember I would eat alone every single day. My packed lunch.
At the desk, keep working.
Yeah, at the desk. Or, you know, I would go grab something to eat, grab a sandwich, scarf it down alone at a restaurant. And then, you know, I would go back to work. In Korea, I was doing that because that was my normal practice. My colleagues thought something was wrong with me. They literally asked me if everything was okay because, you know, why aren't you eating with anybody? They thought it was so strange. And that's something that I picked up while living in Korea. It's like so important to actually use the time to get to know your colleagues by having lunch with them. And I really hope that even the younger generation, the Gen Zers, they could really read this book and take away from it, the importance of building connections in the most simplest ways.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great tip because it is a small thing that you just go on autopilot. And I'm sure a lot of people, when we start going back to regular times, will go back to eating and looking at their phone, like you said. But it's that same principle. It's like eating with your family.
Yes.
Every night or as much as you can. It's bond building.
It is.
Right?
It is. I know. And I hope that people can just even pick up one or two tips here and be able to use that in their life.
So Charlotte, just before we get into what's new and next in your line, let's talk about the Living Cleansing Balm, which is your number one best-selling product. As you mentioned, it's an award-winning product and it's only been on the market for just under 3 years. And I saw Carolyn Hirons, the queen of all things skincare. She just did her top 2020 skincare video and she called it the product of the year in 2020, which is amazing. And she said it was brilliantly formulated. So what makes this cleansing balm on that different level? What is that secret sauce? And what is the real payoff that you're going to get?
Oh, thank you so much for sharing all that information. My goal with the Living Cleansing Mom was to make it the most luxurious experience, because I feel that when I start taking off my makeup, it's my moment of self-care. And I wanted it to feel like you're at a spa, that you're melting away your day, and you're truly removing your makeup, and your skin felt clean and nourished. I have tried many cleansing moms that actually made my skin feel tight and dry, which is very crazy to me, but I have experienced those. I want it to feel buttery on your skin and to feel that you almost even need to put a moisturizer, but without that film. So it's like a really kind of complex goal that I had, but that's exactly how people describe the product to me now. They talk about how it's so sorbet soft on their skin. It melts into a silky kind of buttery feeling. And then it has that aromatherapy in it, because it has a little bit of that essential oils that's causing that nice kind of visceral experience, I guess. And then after it removes your oil-based impurities cleanly without seeing your eyes, your skin will feel supple. And I know people don't like to spend a lot on cleansers, because they feel like, oh, it's on your skin for a few seconds, just, you know, and then what does it even matter if you put good ingredients in there? I don't know. For me, I find that it's like a really important step, because cleansing thoroughly and with the right ingredients has truly improved my skin from the very beginning of my skincare journey. And so I actually think opposite of that. I actually think that it's really important to fill that cleanser with the best ingredients, especially since the oil cleansing step, I kind of relish it. I like take my time with it. I even use, like, if I use a jade roller or something just to get some of that circulation going, I like take my time with that oil cleanser. I use it to massage my skin. I let it sit and relax. When I get a facial, it's very rare that I get a facial, because I just do all my skincare myself. I don't feel the need to go in to get a facial, but that's my favorite step, when they actually do the oil cleansing step.
Mm. Now, do you put it on wet or dry skin?
Dry skin, 100%.
Okay, yeah. So you put it on dry skin, and you're saying you use the jade roller with the cleansing balm.
Yeah.
Okay, just to kind of really work it in.
Yeah, jade rollers, I feel like, you know, they have kind of a bad rap. They're like, what's the point of it? It just feels good.
Yeah. It helps with your skin. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. I think people are like, oh, it's such a scam. But it's like, to me, it's just to help with circulation, promote circulation, and feels great on my like tense jawline. That's the way I use it. Yeah.
And then when you remove it, do you use like a warm cloth? Or?
I actually just use lukewarm water.
Okay. And your hands?
Yep. And my hands. And I just massage my skin and I just rinse it. And then with a wet face, I go into the oil, water-based cleanser to remove any last remaining impurities. So that's my double routine.
And I think you have a good point about the whole thing about the residue, because I do find with most cleansing balms, I really need a face cloth or it's just not coming off. And in fact, we interviewed an esthetician once and she actually said she doesn't like cleansing balms because most times it does leave a residue. And when you go on to do your next steps, it won't penetrate like the serums and those active ingredients. And I was curious as an esthetician how you would respond or address that.
You know, I tried cleansing balms that have a very thick film. I'm not going to mention the brands. Mm-hmm. Some people like that. Mm-hmm. If you're really dry skin, I guess maybe it could be your kind of cup of tea. But for me, I do want it to feel like it's been cleansed thoroughly off my skin. Mm-hmm. I go to the double cleanse though. Like I do use a water-based cleanser right after. So whatever film that may be left over that could actually prevent any of your products penetrating, that's completely removed with the second step of my cleanse. And then also I usually use the toner. The toner does another, we call it the triple cleanse in Korea sometimes, is that when you're using a cleansing toner, you're also removing any trace of anything else that may have been left on your skin to prep your skin for the rest of your routine. So for me and my routine, I don't think there's any problem with any penetration for a future product.
Wait, what's a cleansing toner?
Oh, yeah, like a micellar water.
Okay, like a micellar water, yeah.
In Korea, they formulate their toner step to be kind of dual, you know, pronged. So it can not only prep and hydrate your skin, reset your pH balance, but it also, if it has a little bit of the, you know, micellar type of ingredients, surfactant, then it can actually remove any remaining purity.
Okay.
I, you know, even as a skincare junkie, I will get lazy once in a while and I will just use like a cleansing toner to cleanse my skin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's very helpful.
Okay, great. The triple cleanse. You heard it here. Today's show is brought to you in part by Nutrafol. So, true story, after I had my daughter, I would have clumps of hair in my shower. And you know that ring around the hairline of broken baby hairs? Like a spiky halo you never asked for? Yep, that was awkward. Well, turns out I wasn't alone. And in fact, 30 million women are impacted by weak or thinning hair. So here's the good news. You're not alone. And it doesn't have to be permanent. So for myself, I've been taking Nutrafol supplements because it's clinically shown to improve thickness with less shedding. In one study, 86% of women showed improved hair growth after 6 months. That's pretty impressive. I love that Nutrafol is physician formulated and 100% drug-free. A botanical blend targets 5 of the leading causes of hair thinning, which would be stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, and metabolism. And there are 2 formulas, Nutrafol Women and Nutrafol Balance, and you can visit their website to complete a quick little quiz to figure out which one is right for you. You can also subscribe monthly, so you're never going to miss a dose, and that's important because healthier hair growth does take time and consistency. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code BREAKING to save 20% off your first month's subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get 20% off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code BREAKING. We're going to link to that offer on our blog and in our show notes. And now back to our guest.
So Charlotte, I love how at this stage in your life, you know, it's not just about products. You're really moving beyond that and talking about the deeper meaning of beauty, which is frankly just so refreshing. And on that note, we wanted to talk to you about the work that you've been doing personally to speak out against Asian hate. I know that, you know, for anyone who maybe hasn't caught up on your Instagram feed, you were pretty vocal about that in the last few weeks. So can you let us know or sort of shed some light on what made you decide to speak out now and what you've been sharing?
Yeah. So the Instagram post that I made a few weeks ago was about my experience receiving kind of anti-Asian hate and racism in the streets of New York City. And I wanted to share that story because I feel like that there were not many people speaking out about it. I think that as Asian Americans, we tend to be quiet about the racism that we experience. Even though, even for myself, growing up in California, I experienced racism in elementary school all the time, being like one of the only Asian kids in that school. And even now, due to COVID, there's been a surge of attacks against elderly Asian people and even myself on the streets of New York. I find it, as a person of influence, a person that has a following and a platform, as a business leader and someone in the beauty industry, I really wanted to speak out against this. And my husband and I, you know, while we've been on this journey of building SoGo Glam, we felt very passionate about using our platform for good. We feel that it's a gift that we're able to share our stories, enact, you know, positive change in our community. You know, we want to utilize our platform and this awesome opportunity to be in beauty for good. One example is Good Skin Days, which is our private line on SoGo Glam. Every single product that's sold goes to a charity that is really important to our community, which we allow them to vote on and make the decision on. You know, we've donated to the fires in California when that was, you know, raging, and Black Lives Matter organizations, and recently to Hate is a Virus, which is a nonprofit organization that is helping to eradicate anti-Asian hate. So there's been a lot of that has made us feel very fulfilled. And you know, now, especially recently with this anti-Asian hate, I truly feel very privileged to be able to speak out against this and be help influence this conversation and shed light on what we're going through as Asians. And I think that it's very difficult, I think, for Asians to speak out against this because I share this in my post, I think we are often kind of folded into certain categories where people don't deem it as important enough, these stories to be shared. But I want to make that change. I want to be able to be vocal and encourage other people to speak out. I don't think that one experience is more important than the other. They're all relevant and they're all very important to share.
Well, I'm so glad that you're speaking out on these issues on your platform. And on a lighter note, I understand that you are a new mom. We heard a little baby in the background there. You're just coming back from mat leave. So congratulations. And as a mom myself, I know how that can change a person. You don't have much time in your life anymore. So tell us how your own skincare routine has changed. You know, maybe you're more into skincare now, or maybe you have some mom hacks. Tell us about that.
Yeah, man, this is my first podcast after having a kid. So yes, it is life changing. It is much harder than I thought it would be. But I am definitely changing my skincare routine because of the limited amount of time I have now. I use a lot of sprays, like essence sprays, essence toners. It's just so much faster.
Get it on. Let's go. Yeah. Baby crying.
Really. And I also am really enjoying kind of this idea of self-care. I know I talked about self-care earlier with the Living Cleansing Ball, but self-care is a completely different word now for me. I truly feel that for my mental health, I need it. Versus before, it was more like a nice to have, and like it's a moment for me. But now I'm just like, I need it for my mental health.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's been great using my multi-step skincare routine now as a moment of true self-care, a moment for myself away from the chaos.
Lock the door, put it all.
Yeah. So, and at the same time, there are moments where I won't have time for self-care and won't have time for the multi-step routine. So I go straight into my routine with as fast as possible with sprays. And, you know, I don't have time for sheet masks really anymore.
What about sunscreen though? I'm sure you're not skipping out on that. What's your ride or die?
Oh my gosh. I have my Neogen Daylight sunscreen it's my ride or die for years now, and I still love it. It's great for winter too because it's so emollient. But that has been something I've been using religiously, especially when I was pregnant, so susceptible to brown spots and pigmentation. I would go out for a little bit because especially during COVID pandemic times where the only thing that was safe was outside walk, like little quick walks outside, that I noticed I started getting pigmentation so quickly, much faster than I normally would experience. And I would slather on the sunscreen. I also love the Thank You Farmer sunscreen. That's one of my top favorites. And I am also trying to develop a sunscreen, so I've been testing that out as well.
Okay. There's some good
tea
scoop.
We're looking for.
There's the tea.
And just before our final question, we can't let you go, Charlotte, without finding out what's going to be new and next and big in Korean beauty. So what's the trend you're predicting for 2021 that maybe we haven't heard of yet, like beyond maskne products? I feel like there's always the next catchphrase coming out of the Korean beauty world.
You know, it's so funny because I feel like a lot of trends get flip-flopped in the US and Korea. So what I'm actually seeing is, as I shared earlier, Korea is not about acid. They're very about sensitive skin-friendly ingredients. Cica is a very hero ingredient in a lot of Korean products. But I'm starting to see a lot more innovations when it comes to acids. And it's almost like their version of, you know, kind of like acid products, heavy acid products, but they couple it and they merge it with so many hydrating, sensitive skin-friendly ingredients, you're feeling like your barrier's not stripped. And so that's kind of what I'm starting to see. And I'm really curious to see how that's going to translate in the US market, because I feel like the US is just, they're all about the acids. But even if it means kind of stripping their skin to see the overnight results, I'm really curious to see how that's going to translate, because maybe Western consumers are going to think, we already have our favorite acid products. We don't need anything from Korea.
Right.
Highly doubt that.
That's interesting. So we're seeing a bit of a reversal.
Yeah. And I am seeing, you know, a lot of sunscreen innovation that coming out of Korea. But unfortunately, because the US is so strict about their sun filters, or behind, I might say, and they're never making any updates to their laws for sunscreen filters, you know, I feel like they're just light years ahead in Korea. And you're never really going to see the formulations trickle into the West until there's something done with the sunscreen filter laws here. Mm. And I do see, you know, some of the blue light kind of, you know, marketing that's going out about protecting your skin from the computer screens. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I'm not into that. I think that's kind of a gimmick.
Totally agree.
I would like solid research done about blue light and the impact on your skin versus before I, you know, introduce or curate anything of that sort to Soga Glam. Mm-hmm. We could go into that. That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, that's a whole episode totally. We haven't done yet. But yeah, totally. I mean, at the end of the day, it just goes back to antioxidants, right? So it's like, just use them, guys, whether it's blue light, it's UV light, whatever it is. Antioxidants.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, I just have to ask before our last question, like for anyone who hasn't tried, they haven't imported anything from South Korea or whatnot, like what makes these sunscreens so good? Because they're almost mythical now. They're almost legend. So like, what is the difference? How would you break it down for people?
You know, it's just the sun filters that they use. You know, they're far more advanced. Basically, they allow you to have a very thin, lightweight consistency and protection at the same time. Mm-hmm. But for some reason in the US, they don't improve those sun filters.
Right. Right.
It's not like there's any solid information or studies done that they're harmful at all. They're all over Asia, you know, and I've heard that they just haven't updated the law. I guess the administration, Obama administration, Trump administration, they haven't updated any of the laws in so long. It's not that it's bad for your skin. They just haven't addressed it.
Yeah.
And so we're just decades behind.
Lagging behind.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even when it comes to cushion compacts, I love cushion compacts. All of the sun filters used for those SPF cushion compacts are the advanced filters because they're very lightweight. They're not cakey. They're not like mineral, you know, sunscreens where it's a thick pasty, you know, white pasty thing. So that's why you never see any of the like latest cushion innovations coming into the US because it's not allowed.
Yeah.
Go on Soko Glam. You don't see any sunscreen cushions because we can't import them in since they have the more advanced filters. It's a shame, really. It's really a shame.
Okay. Are these like foundations? Because we used to have cushion compact foundations, or are you saying they're just cushion sunscreens?
Both. Both.
There are. And they're not tinted.
They're not tinted. They're great for reapplication because you could like kind of gently tap it over your makeup. They're great for baby.
Oh my God, I'm dead. I've never heard of this before.
Before we let you go, Charlotte, I wanted to ask you, I read a story in Business of Fashion last week or 2 weeks ago, and the headline was K-Beauty's golden age is ending. What comes next? So I was just curious if you had any thoughts on that story.
It's funny, you know, for the longest time we've been sharing, because, you know, Soko Glam has been around for 8 years. We definitely helped contribute to the rise of K-Beauty. And, you know, people don't actually see Soko Glam as just a K-beauty site anymore. It really is just now synonymous to innovative skincare. And so whether the K-beauty golden age is over or disappearing, I just think in the matter of 5 years, Korean skincare has been cemented as the latest and greatest quality formulations. You see all of these European and Western brands making their skincare in Korea. Literally, I've talked to manufacturers and R&D experts. All of their clients are making their skincare in Korea. So, you know, like Sephora private label, majority is made in Korea. Like there's all of these brands and founders I've talked to, they formulate all in Korea. So really, is it over? I think all of the innovations are made in Korea. They're being made now for Western brands. So it just really, it's just how you think of it. And I think a lot of it has transitioned to people just know the secret now.
Yeah.
And they're making it in Korea.
Thanks for listening. You can find details on every product mentioned in today's episode, along with our exclusive promo codes on our blog at breakingbeautypodcast.com.
While you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. Every episode will be delivered directly to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And get social with us. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Breaking Beauty Podcast.
And did you know we also have a private Facebook group? Just search Breaking Beauty Podcast Chat Room.
You can even leave us a voicemail at any time with questions or feedback at 1-844-227-0302.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast fix. Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can show us some love by writing a review.
See you next Wednesday.